This is episode 70 of the IDRA Class Notes Podcast.
I had started going into the high schools and disseminating those profiles and also talking to kids. And one of the things that was immediate learning is that 95% of the kids who were being surveyed, at least 95%, if not more, had in mind to go to college. But from the beginning of their freshman year, they had already been labeled as like, no, you're not going to college. And they had already either internalized this. When the kids over there talked to them about it, well, it was something seemed more reachable. Because over here, it seemed still a little bit insurmountable. But because they had a peer talk to them about it, it made it seem like they could do it, especially a peer that wasn't necessarily a top 10%er.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes Podcast. I'm Aurelio Montemayor. In this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve all students. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Please let us know what you think about it and any questions that you have. There'll be details at the end of this podcast on how to do that. If you like our show, please help spread the word and tell three others or leave a review for us on iTunes. On our website at idra.org, you can sign up to receive a free email alert that will let you know when the new Class Notes episode is available. You can also sign up for our two free e-newsletters, Graduation for All and IDRA News. Our topic for today is a continuation of a conversation about youth and technology, but now we're going to add college access, youth technology and college access. Our conversation is with Hector Bojorquez. Hector has worked at IDRA in education for over 15 years, and he's been at IDRA for half of that time. He has his bachelor's degree in English literature and his certification in elementary education, pre-K through sixth grade, bilingual education, and English as a second language. He's also one of our tech experts in-house, in fact. He guides our integration of technology in providing technical assistance and training. He's worked hand-in-hand with teachers to use technology within everyday instruction. And he and I have teamed up a lot in working with youth. He's led our most recent incarnation of our Techno Project, working with a group of high school students to connect with other students about going to college. Good morning, Hector.
Good morning.
Now, we had talked before about how youth can be the bridge both for language and technology for their parents in homes where Spanish is the dominant language. A more recent experience you've had with a project has been with a group of young people, high school students here in San Antonio, and we bridged from one project to the other. Tell us about that group of students.
Our involvement with that group of students was through the Edgewood Family Network, who hosted one of our community technology centers in the west side of San Antonio starting about 6 years ago. Later on, we used the community technology center with those kids, with this group of kids who back then they didn't have a group name or anything. They were just the EFN youth leaders. They didn't have a name as far as I know. And they used to do babysitting things. They had maybe a little bit, some responsibilities. But we decided to have them do intergenerational teaching, basically, of computer skills to parents. And it was a very good experience because these kids are really, they consider themselves to be really average kids. And I say that with air quotes because there's nothing average about them, but they themselves would tell you they're average. And I don't.
Well, they came together as a skaters
group. They're a skaters group, yeah. They're a group of skater kids. And the main reason that they got together with EFN is because one of the founder of EFN, one of the kids is her son, and they all have basically almost grown up together, and they've been skaters, I don't know for how long, since junior high.
And they wanted a park or something.
Well, actually it's a little bit more complicated. What we started with our intergenerational project there, we got to know all of them, and that fall one of the young men actually passed away. Coming back from Mexico, there was a car accident, and his mother and grandmother passed away. It was devastating for the kids. It was just a really, really very rough period. And during the mourning process, they decided they wanted to start a skating park and name it in his honor. All this was going on while they were doing this project with us. So, you know, we would spend three quarters of our time doing tutoring with adults, and the rest of the time they would plan out activities for either fundraising for opening up a park, or they were going to write a grant at one point. They drew plans out very good plans about how this park would look like. They had made contacts with people in the city of San Antonio. They took this project on with a lot of heart because of the very personal relationship that they had with this young man.
Tangentially, they were also with one of their high school teachers trying to support the idea that there is dignity in skateboarding and that skateboarders are not all a bunch of junkies.
Yes. One of the teachers really saw a lot of value in what these guys were doing as skater kids. And just, they love this teacher, and he would bring them in. First, it was like 10 to 15 kids, and at one point we would get 30 kids a night because he was bringing them in. It was a really exciting year. When that wrapped up, we still supported the Technology Center over there. We didn't necessarily have a formal project or weekly contact with the kids. Fast forward to this year, this past summer, and we had started another initiative called the Techno 2.0, where we would help disseminate college information to youth in the west side of San Antonio through the community technology centers, where we would have kids come in and we would give them information about colleges, anything from the applytexas.org to the FAFSA, how to get the FAFSA pin, how to do college searches, writing their resumes. It was a pretty big project.
And we needed to reach out to the kids that schools weren't reaching out to as potential college material.
Exactly. Our target number was 600, and we wanted to target kids who were considered not necessarily college material at all. They weren't the top 10% kids. They were just, your average kid who didn't necessarily get the full resources made available to them for that information. And as I went over there to help set up, reestablish the lab. They had moved places. They had moved around, so I wanted to go in there to help them rewire things up. The same guys were there. This was 4 years. This is almost 4 years later. The same group of guys, and I saw them like...
They had been freshmen in high school, and now they were seniors.
And I was like, okay, you're still here. This is unheard of, okay. For a kids to stick with something. Unless somebody has really seen the value that they can bring to something, it's very rare for kids to just stick around. And they stuck around with us. And I started talking to them, and they had, from the time that I had seen them last to right now, to this last fall, they had done a bunch of projects. They had done stuff where they were doing health information presentations to the community in English and Spanish. They were going around with laptops that somebody had donated and showed adults, Spanish-speaking adults, how to access certain websites about health. It was health information. They also had organized entire summer camps. They weren't just babysitting. They were actually organizing the activities. It was very impressive.
So then with Techno 2.0, which we originally had envisioned in terms of our project, we as adults were going to go and speak to high school students.
Right.
You got the idea of having these high school seniors do what?
Well, when I saw how their leadership skills had grown way beyond what I had just seen 4 years earlier, the thought popped into my head, why don't I have these guys recruit at the high schools? Have them bring the kids to the centers. And that happened one night. I went and talked to them, and I said, why don't you guys, bring in the kids? And they're like, sure, we can do that. That's not a big deal. Then the next day I said, well, okay, you bring in the kids, but I'm going to have to talk to them. Now, why don't you talk to them? Why don't I train you to be college mentors, to have you talk to them about the FAFSA, to have you talk to them about applytexas.org, to have you show them all those things? And there was a point during those conversations where I had said to myself, well, maybe I should have them talk about how to motivate kids going to college if they haven't thought about that. And I remember having a little focus group with them, and they were like, okay, we can do that as well. And part of me was like, okay, well, we'll see how we set this up. And as the kids started coming in, as they started recruiting kids and started bringing people in, we had every kid fill out a profile, and this profile basically asked the questions, basically, what are your plans after graduating? What support do you need? What is it, if you don't think you're going to college, why? What kind of obstacles do you have? And by the end of the first month, they had already brought in 100 kids, which was a huge amount. And I had started going into the high schools and disseminating those profiles and also talking to kids. And when I went to the high schools, everybody knew who I was because the kids had talked to everybody about me in the center. And I had had the kids fill out the surveys. And one of the things that was immediate learning is that 95% of the kids who were being surveyed, at least 95%, if not more, had in mind to go to college. There was, I can think of a handful of the kids that I talked to, and I can see their faces, who said they did not want to go to college. And the guys who said they didn't want to college were like six people, maybe. Six people out of 600
that we ended up talking about. But the thing is, from the point of view of the teachers, the educational staff on these schools, did they perceive them as college material?
I think not. Not only did they not perceive them as college material, I think there was a lack of resources as to going and helping those guys. From the beginning of their freshman year, they had already been labeled as like, no, you're not going to college. And they had already either internalized this and not lived up to any expectations because of this internalization. Also, there were situations where I could see that some the administrators did want to have some sort of outreach, but some of them looked at the kids and like, well, maybe it's too late. Mm-hmm. The kids themselves wanted to, but didn't know how to navigate the system. And in some cases, I have to say, some of them were trying to do, they were trying their best to have all the kids somehow apply and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was, the kids themselves saw it as this is just, it's the school administrator and the school staff doing their job. They don't really care about us.
This is kind of ironic because a lot of adults, as you said, even well-meaning adults, see the path to college so complex, is so unreachable for kids, even if they think they have that possibility. How did these high school students who were like C students, none of them were honor roll kids as far as we could tell, how were they able to make then that connection?
Okay, here's one situation. For example, they had, at the school they did, I did see one situation where the administration brought in people to have the kids sign up for applytexas.org. I did see that in one situation. Apply Texas is basically the common application for Texas, where you apply once and it lets you go through all sorts of different colleges through a common common application. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's the basic upshot. Some of those same kids I saw there, then I would see at the center, the Edgewood Family Network, and they would the kids would talk to them, and they were like, "Well, we went through that at school, but that's just because they asked us to do it." But it's not; they really hadn't internalized the idea that they could go to college. When the kids over there talked to them about it, well, it was suddenly seemed more reachable. Because over here, it seemed still a little bit insurmountable. But because they had a peer talk to them about it, it made it seem like they could do it. Especially a peer that wasn't necessarily a top 10%er. The young men who helped me out, who call themselves the techies, they, like I said, are average students.
In fact, they were representative of the group that you were trying to recruit.
Exactly, they were a representative. And they were... Because of that, all the other kids that would come to the center understood as like, oh, okay, they can do it. Why can't I? Yeah. And so we had some other interesting situations where some of the top 10% kids would come and they'd see that these guys had been doing all this stuff. And I had one young lady said, they've been doing this for how long? Like, really, him? Really, he's been doing this for this long? Because she never saw him in this light, in this leadership light that she was like, this is not showing me the sort of thing that we, top 10%ers do, but you have these guys do this instead. It was really, really very interesting, and the guys really took to it. But they themselves started articulating something that we all know, that everybody should go to college, that it's not just for the few.
In fact, I remember I asked them point blank in an exit interview, are you college material? And they were really clear that they were, and that there were a vast majority of kids that school was not considering college material that were. In fact, didn't they tell you, don't go to those classes because they always get...
Yes. When I was doing some outreach at the schools, one of the kids told me, says, sir, if you go to this particular class, I will walk out. Why would you walk out? He says, because they don't need that. They've already had a bunch of information about college information. You need to go to a class this and this and that. He gave me a list of classes. And sure enough, I went to all those classes.
It points to that there's a pattern, maybe an unaware pattern, but nevertheless a negative pattern where schools decide up front who they're going to give information to, the resources to, and that's a small percentage of the student body.
Yes, it's still a very unfortunate fact that we're still using, you know, some of those old things like the PSA, how well you did on the PSAT to determine if you're college bound. This practice is really very bad. I mean, one, the PSAT is not given until rather late in your career and school. And by that point, if you've already made a bunch of mistakes or missteps, that it's too late. It makes things very difficult. Yeah. Now, one of the things that we told a lot of the students who would tell us, we want to go to college, but I don't have the grades. Well, we gave them the options of there are 2-year to 4-year pathways, yes, which really, really made their day. Because they otherwise would say, so how the heck am I going to get to a 4-year institution?
Yeah, one of the pluses, just like it's sometimes a minus, is the community college has a much broader net they throw out there, and they accept more. And wrapping it up, what, in terms of TechNote 2, do you see as the key learnings, or what did it reinforce in your mind about
the two
work?
The two key learnings were that given the opportunity, any student can lead, and any student can become a leader.
Given the opportunity, any student can lead.
Yes, I get to see a situation where that's not true. And the guys that I taught, I still see myself in that role. Mm-hmm. The guys that I worked with, they are actually already natural born leaders in some ways. And I just, EFN and with us, mm-hmm, we gave them the opportunity to just do this. And they did it. They had very little guidance in some ways from us. They just took it and went. I mean, I tell you, I walked into the high schools and I said, I'm from Edgewood Family Network and IDRA, and the kids would look at me, oh, he's been telling me all about you. Could you please tell him to stop? they already knew about all this because of the work that the guys have been doing. So given the opportunity, any student can lead. And when I say any, I don't mean to disparage any child is like, oh, anybody can do it. No, all these children are capable of doing this. The second learning is that just as any child, given the opportunity, any child can lead. Given the opportunity, every child should go to college. And I think that became so evident when I spoke to so many of these kids, and so many of the kids, like I said, over 95% said they wanted to go to college. And the ones that did not were almost for very, like, personal reasons that had nothing to do with some sort of anti-intellectual idea or anti-college idea.
Or they didn't doubt their intelligence, yeah.
Or exactly. It had nothing to do with that, and it completely breaks this myth that somehow minority students do not have college education in their pathways.
Thank you, Hector. I enjoyed this conversation. Continuing our conversation about youth technology and college access. And we hope someday to actually bring some of the students into the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.